Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Hey, fantasy football owners, the road to winning your fantasy football championship starts now. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that's going to make or break your fantasy roster: wide receivers. We analyze route running, target share, and all the metrics that matter, giving you the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Disney gets a script to the PM team plot, and they just make Malzi out to be this incredible human being, and now everyone
he's a real jerk.
I had an even funnier idea.
That guy's a real jerk.
They make a PM team movie, and everything that Pony says is a correct take.
Like, that becomes his
thing.
The
man who's never wrong.
The adversity in the movie that we have to overcome is the fact that when he says something, it's so accepted as fact and truth, and it always happens, that no one thinks we're interesting anymore.
The Oracle, the Andrew Filippone story.
Yeah, you take all the fun away from sports by constantly being right.
I go into acting, my first role is Nostradamus. You know what? I think for the first week of football season, I think I'm going to get a big long beard and wizard style outfit and robes and come in here as Nostradamus, Nostrapony.
Donnie, now that we're on that subject for a minute, I told Pony this. A good buddy of mine who's a loyal listener, my buddy Kevin, he said, I'm thinking, when we were talking about the Kenny tweets from last year, he said, I'm thinking about creating a fake Pony account that tweets fake historic takes like the ones he does about sports. Ford's Theater is the premier showcase of American talent, and Lincoln owes it to the people to show his face there.
I love that idea.
At Pony Butt History. It's right there for us.
More from Jordan Schultz. The Browns are under the impression that they are not going to get Brandon Ayuk.
All right, I think that avoids full DEFCON 1 for you. From the start, I think the nightmare scenario has been you've been fed incorrect info, possibly on purpose, to gas up the price for the Browns to eventually get him. That seems to be off the table. So I think the nuclear scenario here for you is not going to happen.
Yeah, if he went to the Browns and ended up propelling them to great heights.
And if it was just very obvious that the Steelers were using you to gas up the price, bad for you. Now, if it's just things hit a weird stalemate, like there was a third team they were trying to deal with for a wide receiver, if they were getting picks from the Steelers, and it just dragged on for so long that they eventually came back to the table after a trial separation and got a deal done. Not great.
No, not great.
But things happen sometimes.
And if the Steelers end up with Juju Smith-Schuster, that'll ease the pain too for most
people. No, it won't, because he's not good at football anymore.
Oh, I'm sorry, Chris. Have you watched Van? You're going to be watching them tonight. Report back on Monday.
People have been telling me that Van Jefferson has been opening eyes at training camp, and you know what Juju was doing? Dropping passes. Catchable passes.
Jason Mackey, who's there tonight for the Post-Gazette, said he's very intrigued by Van Jefferson.
Well, now I'm feeling a little less.
I will say it does warm my heart. That's going to sound corny, but it's true. Just the pictures, Jeff did this. Just, hey, I'm in the press box at Acrisure Stadium already. here's the field, here's what the empty stadium looks like, and it does gas me up to see it.
Really?
Yep. The field looks beautiful, and then I'm reminded of in 2 months, there's going to be brown spots all over the place, patches of dirt, birds.
Well, like, wait a minute.
During the game, eating at the
field. I actually disagree. I feel like Heinz Field or Akershire Stadium in recent years has not had nearly the number of field problems that it used to.
How about the birds? Remember the birds would come in?
Bird. The bird is the word. Yeah, didn't we get an explanation as to why?
We did. The aviary gave us a comment. They did not bring someone on the air with us, but they gave a public statement.
They didn't want
birds.
One of their people being taken out of context. You were going to put like Larry Smith from the aviary says.
No, let's not try to make it like I post things and take people out of context.
You don't, but you throw those quotes up there, and sometimes people get a little uncomfortable when the heat comes into the kitchen.
Like who? Aditi?
I wasn't going to say Aditi. Mackie actually is the one who likes to clarify things in real time with you. He goes, now before you tweet that, Pony.
Justin Fields will start tonight. I think that is the headline of this game, that we're going to see him in a Steelers uniform play a game for the first time, not Russell Wilson.
If that's the headline, you know how every game, like when there's a football like day after, there's always a subplot, like the second beat writer takes the second biggest story from the game, or like second columnist. Yeah. What would be the second headline heading into this? If Fields is the obvious one and he gets a couple series, what's the next
one? It's how did the two rookie offensive linemen look, who are looked at as day one starters, Fautanu and Frazier, those guys. Does the big Frazier contingent from West Virginia
come up for this?
Do they all come up for this game? Like, it's the very first game. Do they treat this like his welcome to the NFL moment and like the extended contingent comes up?
Just his family, not like saying West Virginia fans writ large.
No, just like the people in the Frazier stratosphere. Like
the Frazier orbit.
Yeah, like the high school football coaches, the
I don't think
high school classmates.
No, the high school football coaches don't, because they know this ain't real ball.
I think I beg to differ on that. I think he's going to have, my prediction is he's going to have close to 100 people at this game.
Do you know that?
No.
Again, I always have to ask.
It's only 2 hours away.
Didn't you do his games in high school?
Not like all of them, but I did the other team in the same town, which was not a good team. East Fairmont was just a train wreck.
And he was West Fairmont?
He played for, it was Fairmont Senior is what they're called.
And did you see the makings of an NFL center when you saw him in person back then?
I mean, I thought he was a really good high school player, and I knew he was going to West Virginia, and I knew he was a good wrestler. I didn't expect, 5 years later, he'd be the Steelers center.
I actually do think that there is something Fields could do in this game that I would I promise I will not overreact to, but I will give him credit for. I will give him some due for. And that is if we see him make a play where the first read isn't open and he goes to second and third reads and finds a guy while standing in the pocket for a nice play. Because that is the criticism of him. That's why people who are not Justin Fields fans believe he's not going to make it as an NFL starting quarterback. I think that's a big reason why the Steelers were able to acquire him for just a 6-round pick. Can he do something like that, even with vanilla defenses and no game planning, in a game where the speed is probably still much faster than college football? Can we see him in a Steelers uniform make that kind of play?
I will not be in the same boat as you as far as giving him some props for it, however muted, because it's so vanilla right now. It's the time and place where you basically expect that. Like you could almost say that they would tell him to work on that. Like if your first read is wide open, fine, throw it. But we almost want you to ignore your first read and go to reads 2 and 3. I just have a hard time with that. I guess what I'm really outing myself here as is somebody that just doesn't put almost any stock in the preseason, because I could always come up with some caveat for why this or that went a certain way, other than maybe O linemen like actually just winning their blocks repeatedly and just looking in good harmony.
So are you just a doomsday Mulsey? Hold on, let me finish my point. Where because it's the preseason, it's so vanilla. If a guy looks bad, then it's even more damning because he can't even look good in these situations.
See, this is probably Where what did I get called? Ambassador of Doom 2 couple days ago?
Electric Boogaloo.
Yeah. This is, I guess, where I have to say that's, I guess, a fair critique, because it's...
Like, what if Fields throws two picks
tonight?
Well, hold
on. It's much easier for me in general to say, not so much about a quarterback even. You throw two picks, you throw two picks. Like, so I'll be somewhat consistent there. It's much easier for me to slough off a good performance because, hey, it's just preseason, than to ignore a bad one. For example, if Fautanu goes out there, because I guess Houston's playing their starting edge guys too.
Hunter and Anderson.
And Anderson, very good duo. If he goes out there and gets worked over by whoever he's lined up against, I will be like, you know what? That's basic stuff. That's blocking and tackling here. That's,
see, I actually
that's
won't
bad.
Because of who those guys are. But if he's out there later in the game and it's happening, then I'll be more
but
worried
I guess
about
my
his
point is,
readiness.
My point is, I do have an easier time buying into negative this time of year than buying into positive.
Chris Hoke started as a rookie for the Steelers in 2004 because of Casey Hampton's injury. And Chris wasn't healthy. I mean, Chris wasn't drafted is what I mean to say. And he was also older because he had been on practice squads and he had gone and done his stuff after BYU. So it's not an apples-to-apples comparison to Beanie Bishop, but it might be the closest thing we have to an undrafted rookie who looks like he's primed to be a day-one starter at corner, a very important position. We'll get Chris's take. What a first test for Bishop tonight if all these Texans wide receivers are playing, because they got three good ones. And that means he's going to get thrown right into the fire out of the box here.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, fantasy football owners. Anybody can tell you what a good fantasy quarterback looks like, but it's the receivers that make or break your team. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that matters most, wide receivers. From the route trees to who plays better in man or zone, we provide the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
If your day sounds like...
we need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
About the lack of reps for Russ in the first team offense?
I'm not.
Short answer for Mike Tomlin on Russell Wilson, who will not suit up and play tonight. He was doing some warm-up throws at Acrisure Stadium a short time ago with players. You might recall when Seattle came here and he missed his first NFL regular season game a few years ago when Geno Smith got the call because Russ had a broken finger. He was out there playing football with invisible men.
Celebrating with invisible teammates, yeah.
Yep.
I think the celebrations were what got me the most. He was celebrating fake passes with fake teammates.
He was air-waving high fives, yes. PM Team unofficial pregame show at 5:16. Time to start your weekend off right with Archie's Famous Wings. Speaking of food, we're joined right now by a guy that you'll be able to watch tonight post-game on a special edition of the Nightly Sports Call with Richie Walsh hosting the Extra Point Show after Steelers and Texans. I'm talking about Steelers Super Bowl champion Chris Hoke. Chris, what is on the dinner menu for you tonight?
I was just talking to my wife about that because I got to get downtown to get to the station to watch the game. So we got to find something quick. But you just talked about wings. Man, there's nothing better than a big old plate of wings on a Friday night.
What's your max number back in your heyday when you were a big eater? How many could you put down, Chris?
20 to 25.
Flats, Chris.
Man, that seems low, Chris, for a big guy like you. 20 to 25.
I'm not a natural big guy, though. I was never a natural big guy, right?
Yeah,
I had to force myself to eat.
Well, are you a flats or a drums guy?
You know what? I don't mind drums. You know, okay. I don't mind the drumsticks. The flats are always good, but I'm kind of one of those guys where I have boys, right? I have three boys, and I know they love the flats. And so I'm thinking, okay, the flats are going to go quick. I can get a lot more if I eat drumsticks. So it's all strategic.
So you,
that's a great
you
strategy.
You could have come off as like the most compassionate, caring dad ever. I'll eat the drums because they don't want them. Instead, it sound like you're just strategizing against your kids.
I love it.
There's no question. Hey, listen, at my house, I have five kids. My girls are just intense about food as the boys are. And this is a dog-eat-dog home, man. I mean, listen, you don't get in there, you don't get after it. It's survival of the fittest. And if you're not going to get in there and get that food, and we fight about portion sizes and everything.
Damn. Hokie, how about tonight's game? You're going to sit down and watch this and then talk about it afterwards. What are you most interested and most excited about in terms of the Steelers in this one?
You know, I'm excited to see the offensive line. You know, we know that the first team offense is going to play a little bit. I want to see how that offensive line, how they're going to play. You know, we've been accustomed in recent years to seeing these offensive linemen come off in two-point stance and try to run the ball. It's very, very difficult to run the ball in a two-point stance. It's not really a running mentality. We know that Arthur Smith wants to run the football, so I want to see them with a running mentality of firing off the ball and still in a defensive line's grasp. So I want to see if they're going to do that tonight, whether it's with Najee or whether it's with Jalen or the guys that are behind them. I just want to see the offensive linemen coming off. So that's one thing I want to see. What's the mentality on the offensive line? You'll be able to see that in the first couple of series. And then I want to see on the defensive line and the front seven, I want to see, are we going to be coming off the ball? Are we going to be flying off the ball? Are we going to be getting upfield and playing aggressive football? We got some new pieces. We won't see some of those new pieces, but Keanu Benton, is he going to continue to build on what he did last year? Are we going to see Peyton Wilson? I mean, everybody's talking. I mean, he looks great in practice. Now the lights will come on. Let's see what he does. Those are some of the things I'm excited to see.
Chris, when you're talking about like rookies who are going to be putting on an NFL uniform and actually going against somebody else in another uniform for the first time, are you more, when you watch a game like tonight, are you more looking at, does the guy, you know, understand the scheme very well already and he's kind of in sync, or is he just winning physical battles, especially, I guess, up front with offensive and defensive linemen? What in that first preseason game for a rookie of those two is more important to you?
Well, I think you're going to hit somebody. You got to find out who will and who won't, right? And so you've got to see if a guy's physical. I remember Coach Mitchell used to always say to us, listen, if you're going to make a mistake, break glass. Hit somebody. And so you want to see if somebody's physical. But, of course, mental mistakes will kill you, right? I mean, you make a mental mistake, it's a gash for a first down or it's a sack on the opposite side of the ball. So you got to limit your mental mistakes. You can clean those up. What I want to see right now, who's going to come out when the lights come on and who's going to get after the opponent, and you can build on that. And that's what I'm looking for.
In the last couple of hours, Marcus Golden abruptly retired, Chris. So he's gone after he showed up earlier in the week. DeMarvin Leal started practicing this week at outside linebacker. So now that makes sense because they're a little bit short there. He's a defensive lineman by trade. He's backed up Cam Hayward. How does a guy like that go to being an edge rusher in the NFL? He might start there tonight. Chris, give me a take on that.
Well, listen, I mean, Marcus Golden comes into the training camp and probably he didn't even know if his heart was in it in the first place. Gets out there, it's hot, it's physical, it's nasty. You know, and it could be the writing was on the wall, like this isn't a given. You might be in a battle for that that fourth outside linebacker spot, and maybe just, it wasn't all there mentally and emotionally.
Sure.
But you talk about DeMarvin Leal, and if you guys think back 2 years ago, not last year, but 2 years ago, he played outside linebacker. He lined up out there, you know, not a lot.
But it wasn't memorable.
From time to time. He did do that.
He didn't do a lot,
though. It wasn't memorable, but he did do it, right? So I think this year, maybe he's showing some promise. Coach Tomlin and Terrell Austin are seeing some things that he's getting back to form to where he was. And so he does have that position flexibility. And so it doesn't surprise me that this is happening. It does show me that they are confident and they believe that he's getting back to form, because last year was an off year for DeMarvin Leal. They expected a lot. I remember being at training camp practices last year, and Coach Tomlin in the first week of camp was tooting his horn and throwing out praises. And it seemed like things just kind of dropped off and he had a down year. So this is a big year for him, and it's, by them doing that shows me that they're confident that he's making progress and can have a jump this year.
Chris, can you try to put in perspective for people what Beanie Bishop is attempting to do as the nickel corner, the slot corner, an undrafted rookie free agent trying to earn a starting job right from the get-go, and what he's going to be facing tonight?
It's incredible. I mean, I've been watching it and reading about it and learning about it. And the reality is, you got a guy coming in from West Virginia, and, as an undrafted free agent, they don't expect a lot out of you. They expect you maybe to fill a roster spot, but not to come in and start. I mean, think about this. You have first-round draft picks that come in and struggle to get going in their first year. And you're going to have an undrafted free agent coming in, Beanie Bishop, and right tonight, number one on the depth chart. And, let's see how he does tonight. But by all accounts, he's been doing well in camp. He's fast. He does a great job covering. He's physical. So, hey, listen, he's got all the skills and all the talent. Let's see if he can put it all together when the lights turn on tonight.
Did you? You were an undrafted free agent. Do you remember your first NFL preseason game? Did you knock somebody on their ass? Did you sack a quarterback? Did you get in somebody's face?
Well, listen, it was against the Atlanta Falcons down in Atlanta. And I remember this because, honestly, Pony, I mean, my journey was so different than a lot of these guys. I played two or three series and into the fourth quarter. I only played that last half of the fourth quarter. Mm-hmm. I sat there for 3.5 quarters just watching. And I had a hit on the quarterback and I had a tackle. And I did my job. And I remember after that game when we got back to Latrobe, it was in the evening. We are watching a special teams film. Coach Cowher came in with coaching staff. We watched special teams, and he went over, kind of just recapped the game. And as I was walking out, walking by him going to the defensive room, he looked at me, goes, "Hokey, great job last night." And he gave me I'll tell you what, that meant everything to me. For him to tell me I did a great job with two or three series in the game, it gave me the confidence I needed to continue to build, and I ended up making the team.
What are you hoping to see specifically? Like, if we were breaking this out on a very granular level, what do you hope to see from Justin Fields for however long he's out there tonight?
Just managing the offense, right, and making the right throws. We don't need him to go out there and throw a 70-yard touchdown pass. Can he make the routine throws, right? Can he put him on? Put him in rhythm and on the money. That's always been there has never been. Any kind of talk about his lack of leadership, his lack of ability to run the ball. It's always been about throwing a consistent ball. And we know he can throw the deep ball, but just can he consistently be accurate? And that's what you want to see with him. He's gotten better, guys, every single year. You look at the stats. I mean, last year he had 16 touchdowns, 9 interceptions. I mean, that's better than any quarterback we had on this roster last year. And so, except for Pony's guy, Mason Rudolph. So, I think it is a guy who his arrow's been pointing up the last few years, and you saw it again in training camp. Every single day he's improved.
Chris, we'll be watching you after the game tonight, buddy. You and Richie, what a tandem.
I'm
what
excited.
A team.
I'll tell you what, two redheads, man. You can't beat it.
Hokey, we'll talk again soon. Thank you, brother.
Looking forward to it, brother. Have a great night, guys.
See ya. Chris Hoke.
Dude, Chris.
525, so the dinner plan seemed very up in the air.
I thought he was honestly going to go with a little, my kids like flats, and that's why I take the drums. And then he just completely flipped that to, I'm a strategic eater.
He said his wing max was 25. You've crushed him.
My sister-in-law's is 48,
I think. Very surprised by that. I thought it would be, not 50. I feel like sometimes when people say like, oh, I've eaten 50 in a sitting. Like, unless they just have
I'm gonna impugn some local competitive eating gene. No, I'm gonna talk about a local place. Quaker Steaks used to be very small wings, and you could put down like 30 plus. They were like,
yeah, that's another factor.
If you were getting after flats there, especially, they were very tiny.
But yeah, I mean, I would have expected Hoke to be like well into the 30s.
What do you think his favorite flavor is? 40.
Garlic parm.
What if he's a big Dino's sweet and hot guy?
I respect that. I think that's my personal favorite, but I never get it.
Sweet and hot?
Yeah.
When I had it at Dino's when I went golfing with Donnie last week.
What'd you think?
Lived up to the hype, man.
Is there hype for it?
Well, that's their most famous flavor, correct? At Dino's.
Like, yeah. That's like their standard. If you ask anybody...
They say get that.
What to get. Yeah, that's normally the recommendation.
No, they match the hype, man. They were very good. And it's like kind of a unique, unusual flavor. Like, it doesn't really taste like anything else.
Chris Hoke not putting the hens away like we
thought
he would.
Cornish game hens. Maybe fewer wings than normal.
It's time for the PM Team Pittsburgh Houston White Hot Takes.
Listen to that sizzle.
Oh, yeah. Big sizzle.
Little known fact about me. Could take or leave bacon. People get aroused by the smell of it, the sound of it, bubbling, sizzling. I think it's good. To me, it's not the end all be all.
Really good bacon is really hard to beat. Subpar bacon, could take it or leave it. I'll tell you this much. Here's my take where I'll ride with you a little bit. You want to make me like either a bagel or biscuit or English muffin-based breakfast sandwich?
Yep.
Give me a sausage patty over bacon 10
I'll
times
go
out of 10.
When I am at a diner, Waffle House is right down the street from me. Give me a ham or give me sausage before I go with bacon.
Or give me death. Have you ever had Scrapple? Not good.
I don't know what it is.
It's like a sheet of like very overly processed meat that people love in Philly, and they're like, oh, it's scrap. You know, we got Scrapple. I don't know what the Pittsburgh equivalent would be. It's such a random thing. Not good at all. It's basically like sausage leftovers that they try to like machine together and they claim it's good. It is horrid.
You guys are having a field day with the photoshopped image of me as Nostradamus and then me predicting things from
history. Yeah.
Where I said one thing would happen and then a very, very, very different thing happened.
Most recent. Trends will come and go, but I think we know this much. If you need to go somewhere far away, the horse and buggy is here to stay. I even made it rhyme.
I tell you what, this Richard Nixon is a great guy and a better president. Straight-laced, no funny business. Not only could he serve two terms, I think he could serve for life. One of the best.
Who tweeted that one out?
I didn't tweet it, but I have it in the drafts.
I mean, the one that you did suggest on your own is doing a great job. Let me tell you, these dinosaurs, fantastic beasts and indestructible creatures. These guys will rule the earth until the end of time.
I hate you guys. I really do.
Caleb's Photoshop is so good. And then the George Washington is a system general. Just, I laugh every time I read that sentence.
Wait, what was it again?
Big match today. Battle of Yorktown. I'm betting on the British. George Washington is a system general. Cornwallis is top five. Easy win for England.
Oh, God.
I got another one that we could do. This Napoleon, don't underestimate him. Small guy, but a tough guy. Scrappy. You're not going to send him away. He's not going to be sent packing.
All right, let's get to some white hot takes.
Shall we?
I will start. I think that we get a kind of low-key performance from Fields tonight. I don't think they're going to... I know the guy, it's his first instinct to want to take off and run. I don't think we see that. I don't think that they, number one, I don't think they want him getting hurt in a game like this.
Mm-hmm.
I also don't think there's not going to be anything designed either, because if they, even though repetition is good, I think they want to keep that in their back pocket, or they want to play that close to the vest. They don't want to put the tape out there yet on it. Now, how they... what the formation looks like, how they execute it. So I'm guessing that he's going to get two offensive series. And I think we come back here on Monday and it's just kind of a ho-hum. Nowhere close to the Kenny Pickett
furor that was raised after he started
playing
well.
Nothing like the electric performance by him last year.
Man, now I'm getting hungry listening to that. Here's a hot take. I think we're going to – I do think we are going to be fighting back the urge. Maybe it'll be me because I was more bullish on this guy than probably anybody. I'm going to be fighting back the urge to over-project Darnell Washington after one preseason game.
What do you mean?
I think he's going to be a little bit of a revelation. He's going to have a couple nice catches. There's going to be a little bit of offensive ability shown by the big tight end.
That would be going opposite everything that comes out of camp about his exploits beyond blocking.
I understand that.
Which I think if you're
but
right.
But that's why it's a white hot take. I think that he has a chance. Maybe there'll be, there's just going to be like two or three plays where he catches a pass, looks very agile, and
is Malzi's overreaction going to be...
No, I'm going to say...
This guy's going to have a big role in the offense.
Won't be
this
an
year?
Overreaction because I'll have predicted it in white hot takes, so I'll be expecting it in a way. Donnie?
Don?
Here's one that'll get people fired up tonight. All the trade rumors out there, all the speculation out there. Who's going to be this second wide receiver? Van Jefferson's going to haul in a touchdown pass of about 20 yards. I think they're going to be right in the cusp of the red zone.
From?
John Reese Plumlee. Now, it'll be Kyle Allen, probably.
Yeah, I'd like Kyle Allen's chances better there.
I think we're getting a heavy dose of Kyle Allen tonight.
For all you Kyle Allen
lovers.
Oh,
I think it's a lot, yeah. Like two and a half quarters of Kyle Allen.
Oh, man, that is a heavy dose of Kyle Allen.
You know, Donnie just brings up an interesting point with Van Jefferson's name.
Mm-hmm.
Does Tomlin treat him like a starter and not play him that much? Or because it's a dogfight for the position?
I think he needs to play
him. Does he play him more? Or is he one of these guys that Mike will say, I know what he can do, even though he is fighting for a job. He's got a high ceiling. He's got a high floor. I'd rather see the guys that are younger and have more boom or bust potential. But as I say that out loud, I'm trying to think who those guys would be.
It's mostly bust potential.
Watkins.
You want to see Calvin Austin a lot, I guess?
Well, I don't think Austin and Jefferson are going to play the same position.
Oh, no. One's a slot guy.
Yeah. Yeah, how much is little Calvin Austin going to play?
Could be a white hot take. A white hot take. Thank you.
Oh, you're skipping me?
Oh, no, that's right. You were just reacting to Donnie. Sorry.
I think Nick Herbig is going to have at least one sack, and I also think he's going to find a way to force a turnover or end a play with the ball in his hands. I like the guy a lot. I think he is a little bit undersized. We know that. But I think we're going to come out of this season thinking that had the Steelers not signed Alex Highsmith to an extension, that position would have been in good hands with TJ Watt, Mini Watt from Wisconsin. Herbig.
Pretty good one.
You have another one?
Yeah, I do. The Peyton Wilson hype will reach a fever pitch. He will have at
least... Not with me, because I'm very level-headed now on preseason stuff.
Well, just the hype will be out there for people not as disciplined as you. I think he's going to have one of the following. No, two out of the following three. At least a tackle for loss, or a sack, or an interception. He'll have at least two of three there. And I'm separating tackle for loss and sack. If he gets a sack, it doesn't count for both. He's going to stuff somebody behind the line of scrimmage. He's going to get to the quarterback, or he's going to pick off a pass. Two out of three ain't bad. Peyton Wilson's going to show out. This is his time. Ridiculous athlete going against, for a lot of this game, I bet, a bunch of people who are going to be the future bartenders of America.
Jabronis?
Yeah. Jablonskis and Jabronis?
I saw Jablonski.
How's Jablonski doing?
He's working for the Pirates in like some kind of camera role or media role on game days, and he was like resplendent in a Pirates jersey that looked team provided. Yeah. Congratulations on all his success. No one knows who we're talking about except the three people in this room.
Correct. Awesome. That is actually correct.
I think Wilson's going to get an interception, by the way, Malzi. Apparently, he looks very good in pass coverage, which is something that we are not very used to.
Source on that?
From that position. Big Nick Faribault.
Oh, okay.
And he actually said he's been underwhelmed.
Pretty Ricky.
He's been underwhelmed by his play against the run. But he says...
See, a little sleight of frame, maybe? Like, I know he's not, like, the biggest,
yes,
like, wide body in the world.
Yeah, Nick described it as it seems like guys can run through him a little bit too easily.
I don't like that.
But against the pass,
well, that's
he
why
looks like a very good athlete.
When I hear that, I think of Devin Bush.
No, I think it's more because he's tall and lean. Devin Bush was just, like, undersized, period. I mean, I think that's why they've talked about him almost entirely throughout camp as, like, a prototypical day one dime linebacker.
Yep.
And why they have a Landon Roberts who guys can most definitely not run through easily as the guy playing next to Patrick Queen.
By the way, I think Devin Bush lost his starting job already in Browns camp.
I think the funnier thing about that is that he had a starting job to begin with in Browns camp.
I think Papiani's going to lose his mind, and I think he's not going to be alone by some booming Cam Johnston punt.
There will be a statement made to Charlie Batch about, like, and this is something we didn't see last year, Charlie.
We missed this.
The hang time, 5.1. You never saw that from Presley Harvin, who, by the way, latched on with the San Francisco 49ers.
We haven't seen a punter like this since fill in the blank of Steelers' great punter.
Shane Edge. No, Josh Miller, I guess.
We haven't seen a punt like this since.
Wait, are you guys aware of the Shane Edge
Bobby
story?
Bobby Walden.
He played one game, I believe it was, for the Steelers, got into a huge fight in like 96, and got fined more than he got paid for the game.
That's a rough go.
He got fined. I think it's my brother's all-time favorite Steeler, just this random dude named Shane Edge.
His all-time favorite?
Well, because he just thinks the story is so funny. Shane Edge. He played in 1996. He played in four games, and in one of them, he got into a huge brawl and got fined more money than I believe he ever actually made in professional football. Shane Edge from the University of Florida. He was a Gator. Who is the best Steelers punter of our lifetime? Because that's one thing I feel like they've had Super Bowl teams that had what I would call very mediocre
Mitch
punters.
Mitch Berger was the Mitch Berger and Josh are the two guys that popped into my
head. Dan Sepulveda.
Wait, was Berger the punter for both Super Bowl? No.
No, he was the punter.
No, Gardocchi would have been
on the
other one.
That's right. I knew it had to be Gardocchi.
Probably Gardocchi, right?
I don't know. Every time I think of Josh as a punter, I think of how torn up he is still about the misplaced hash mark. The ball was put on the wrong hash.
Wouldn't you?
Yes.
All right, career punting leaders for the Steelers. Bobby Walden is first. Josh is second. Craig Colquitt, third. Jordan Berry, fourth. And then five, Harry Newsom.
I kind of forgot Jordan Berry existed, and I'm not ashamed.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, fantasy football owners. Anybody can tell you what a good fantasy quarterback looks like, but it's the receivers that make or break your team. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that matters most, wide receivers. From the route trees to who plays better in man or zone, we provide the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.